Good morning. I greet you all of you in Jesus' name this morning. It's a privilege to be back with you here at Loyola. I bring greetings from the Kirkwood congregation, and good to do this rotation and have you share one of your ministers and one of us come up, and just it's good to get to see everybody again. For a message this morning, I have decided to preach on a Old Testament character. There's a lot of favorites of mine in the Old Testament, men of God who faithfully served God, and some rise higher on the list than others. And the man I want to look at this morning is Caleb. Now, I know we talked about him a little bit in Sunday school class a couple weeks ago in the latter part of his life, and we'll look at that a little bit towards the end of the sermon this morning, but I wanted to look at the beginning of his life, or where we first see him coming on the scenes, and I want to take some lessons that we can learn from his life that I think can be applied to us today. The title of the message this morning is, He Wholly Followed the Lord. You see, Caleb is a very good example of the beliefs that you have in your mind will result in actions each and every day. You see, Caleb, it was said over and over again that he wholly followed the Lord. I think it's said, if I have it correct, it was 6 times. It's listed that he wholly followed the Lord. And because of that, because of where his mind and his heart were, he was a very powerful man, a very strong man that stood up against opposition, against the other people and the children of Israel there, and also against the enemies that were all around him. So backing up to Caleb, you know, he had seen a lot in his life. He had a lot of different experiences, and we do not know very much about the early part of his life, but it appears by all that he was born in Egypt. And so if he was born in Egypt as a children of Israel, he was a slave. So he probably grew up was born to slave parents in Egypt. He most likely served a good bit of time as a slave, probably for at least 30 years or more, because he was 38 years old at the time of the Exodus out of Egypt. And that's something that we maybe forget when we get a little farther down in his story, when we think of them spying out the land of Canaan. We don't always think about where he started and how he probably was a slave for a good many years. He was 40 years old when Moses called him to spy out the land of Canaan from Kadesh Barnea. He was also, which we'll get into it, he was also a leader in his tribe, or at least in his family. He was a well-known man at that by age of 40. And then later on, at age 85, he received his inheritance in Hebron after the conquest of Canaan, 45 years after the Exodus out of Egypt. You can turn a while in your Bibles to Numbers chapter 13, where I'm going to be looking at this story. And the first part of the message I want to, the first point is a different spirit. It says in here he had another spirit with him. What was different about this spirit than the spirit of his brothers, the spirit of those that were right around him, that were side by side with him? He was chosen as a spy, but in the end he became one of the minority. He was one of the few. There was only 2 out of the 12 that gave a positive report, and he was one of those 2. He was not going with what was popular, because there was a lot more than, there was 10 that were opposed, but 2 that were in favor. I'm going to take the time to read this story. It's a very enjoyable story about the 12 spies being called, and I'm going to just start reading at chapter 13, verse 1, and we're going to work our way through even into parts of chapter 14. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I called unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. Again, so Caleb was called, so he was a ruler among his tribe. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran, all these men who were heads of the children of Israel. We're going to just jump down across most of that there, but if you look in verse 6, and of the tribe of Judah, Caleb the son of Jephunneh. So there was Caleb being called. And down to verse 16, these are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Ashi the son of Nun, Joshi. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get ye up this way, southward, and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, the people that dwelleth therein, and whether there be strong, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and that the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was of the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men came to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Aham, Sheshi, and Timnah, the children of Anan, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zon in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff, and they thought of the pomegranates, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. Now keep that in mind. It's an interesting thing of these men were spying in this land. They were trying not to be seen, but yet they were carrying these great bunches of figs and grapes, so large that it had to be carried between two men. How were they spying doing this? The place was called the Brook of Eshcol because the cluster of the grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. Again, this was not just a quick in and out. They didn't just sneak in overnight and come back out. They spent 40 days in the land, getting around the land, looking it over, seeing what was there, collecting some evidence of what they found. And when they went and came to And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and they showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we come unto the land whither thou sendest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and it is the fruit of the land. It is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people, because Moses said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Right there we see the spirit of Caleb. He called for peace, or he tried to still them. He tried to reason with them. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we are in our own sight as grasshoppers, so we are in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto the land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return unto Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the children, unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we possess, though passed through to search it, is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord dwelt in us, then he will bring us unto this land and give it us a land which floweth with milk and honey. And rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us, and their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me, and how long will it be ere they believe me, for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a great nation, and a mightier and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them, and they will tell it to the inheritance of this land, for they have heard that the Lord, that thou art Lord among this people, and that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by day time in a pillar of cloud, and in a pillar of fire by night. And if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according to the as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is longsuffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquities and transgressions, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of the people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all these people which have seen my glory and my mercies which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn ye and get ye into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ear, so will I do to you. And your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land conquering, which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said shall be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they will fall in the wilderness. And all the children wandered in the wilderness 40 years, and bear whoredom among your carcasses to be wasted in the wilderness. And after the number of the days in which ye search the land, even 40, and each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years shall ye know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all the evil congregation that are gathered together against me in the wilderness. They shall be consumed, and they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men, they did bring up the evil report upon the land, died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. And Moses told these things unto the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning, and gat them up in the top of the mountain, and said, lo, we will be here, and we will go unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for they have sinned. And Moses said, wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because ye turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwell in the hill, and smote them and discomforted them even unto Hormah. We're going to stop reading there. I find this a very fascinating story, especially when you read it from beginning to end. We had 12 men who were called as spies. As I said before, they were leaders in their tribes. They were well renowned in their families, and they were called by Moses to go and spy on Canaan, to see what was ahead of them, to see what was coming their way. And I believe this was a very daring thing to do from a human perspective, to go to send men into a enemy's land to look it over, and they knew that they were coming to attack them. So these men were not weak. I do not believe that they were the weak men from the tribes. I believe they were all very strong men, very powerful men, and very daring and very brave in that aspect. And God, however, we know that God blessed their plans and protected them as he led them or allowed them to spy out Canaan. Although I believe they all started out very probably righteous and well-intended at the outset, the spies ultimately, somewhere along the way, they sinned and chose to deliver a negative report. And I don't know where that happened, but I do believe it happened in the 40 days that they were in the land of Canaan, that the 10 of them had a change of mind. Something started to feed. Either they fed on each other, or something started to change. They lost the perspective of what the Lord had done for them in the past and what the Lord had promised he would do for them in the future. And they started to slip on the thing of holy following the Lord. They started to look at it from a man's perspective, from the eyes of human reasoning. We're a group of people who have never been to war before. We've been slaves. We've wandered around in the wilderness. Our supplies are depleted. We don't have men we've not been trained in battle. We probably have very little equipment for war. And we're going to go into these walled cities, these trained armies who have grown up fighting among themselves. And that's how their minds started to run. And they said, there's no way that this is going to, with human reasoning, it's not going to work. But only two men, Caleb and Joshua, remained loyal to the mission that Moses and the Lord had sent them on. The men scoured this land for 40 days. They wandered around. They collected these samples. They looked at the cities. They saw that. They saw people. Apparently, the people did not see them. The Lord had protected them. And then they returned to the Jewish camp. And they brought back different reports. 10 of them came back and began to speak to the people, and they frightened them. They caused them to, they told them the worst of the story. They frightened them with the tales of the mighty cities and the giants and the people who fought among themselves. And they brought back a evil report, as it says here in these verses. But Caleb was one of the men who continued in his heart to, I believe, follow the Lord, or to understand the Lord's leading. Caleb's words were these: let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome. How can you have such polar opposites of reports? One telling the people there is no way we can do it, it's not going to work, and the other two men saying, let us go up, we can do this. What is the difference in their vision or their view? Or what was the difference in their mindset? Because one or two, and the one side, they knew that the Lord was with them, and they trusted in him and his word. Another words of Caleb: if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. The people grew terrified, but Caleb stood up and silenced them and tried to reason with them. He tried to negotiate with them, or tried to get them to listen to him. But at the end of the day, evil news always passes, or it always grabs hold faster than good report. And the people listened to the 10. There was more of them. There was only these two. They were a very small minority, and the children of Israel did not listen to them. Joshua also, even though I'm not taking a lot of time looking at him, Joshua joined him, and together they implored the Jews to believe in God, believe what he had done, where he had brought them through, where he had brought them out of. But as a result, God declared that these people would never enter Israel. I'm sorry, they would never enter Canaan. Anybody that was 20 years and older that was grumbling and complaining and not believing would not have the privilege of going into this land of Canaan. So for the next 40 years, they would all die, anybody 20 and older, which again puts Caleb and Joshua very much in a minority position. They were the only two, I would say, that were they were definitely older than anybody else, especially at the time of entry into Canaan. They definitely stood out in every aspect. Caleb had the Lord's blessing on his life because he had unwavering faith. In 14:24 it says, "But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed will possess it." It was because of the spirit that was in him, because of the belief system that was in him. You see, we too today have the ability to be different than the masses around us. We have the ability to be the one who is standing out because we have a different spirit within us. There are many stories over time, too, of people who stood up for what they believed and what they thought was right, even though it was not popular at the time. There's a story of a Levi Coffin. He's an unsung hero of the American anti-slavery movement in 1920. And Levi moved to Newport, Indiana, and opened a shop. And his home soon became a central point on the famous Underground Railroad, a path where slaves from the United States South could be brought up through to freedom in Canada. People like Levi would take enormous risk to help fleeing slaves on their journey. And Levi provided refuge for up to 17 slaves at one time in his house. So active was his home that the three major routes on the Underground Railroad converged at his place and became known as the Grand Central Terminal. Because of his activities, though, Levi received frequent death threats and warnings that his shop and home would be burned. Yet he was undeterred. Like many of the whites involved in the Underground Railroad, he was driven by his Christian conviction. You see, Levi was a Quaker, and he explained his commitment like this. He said, "The Bible, in bidding us to feed the hungry and clothe the naked, said nothing about color." Levi is just one example of a person who decided to do what he could about an injustice that he saw, and his actions resulted in hundreds of oppressed slaves finally finding their freedom. We could say that this Levi had a different spirit in him than many of those around him, just as Caleb and Joshua did. What is it meant, more detailed, about the different spirit that was in them? What was this unwavering faith and wholehearted commitment to God? I want to look at that a little more here in Caleb's life. This unwavering faith, Caleb followed the Lord. You see, I think that's key to Caleb's success, was that he wholly followed the Lord. As I mentioned before, it's mentioned six times in the Old Testament. And it refers to Caleb's commitment to keeping the distance between him and the Lord at a minimum. Now, I know Caleb was an Old Testament character, did not have the Holy Spirit dwelling within him like we have the privilege of today. But yet there was a relationship, I do believe, between him and God, or at least he had a high level of trust and confidence in the commandments and what the Lord had said, and also what the Lord had done for them in the past. It is said that the man who kneels before God can stand before anyone or anything. Does our commitment to Christ affect us in that way? Does it affect all of our other relationships around us? Are we devoted to Jesus? The more devoted we are to Jesus, the more faithful we will be in our families, in our homes, in our churches, and in our works, and to our friends. If we're faithful, or if we're devoted to Jesus, we will be more faithful in every aspect of our lives. You see, the closer we are to God, and the more that we are in tune with His Word and His will in our lives, the more we can follow where He wants us to go. All that Jesus really wants from us, though, is total commitment. He just wants us to be committed. And it goes back to that point where we tend to, so often I know in my own life, I tend to reason things out. We want to take human reasoning and fit that into the picture somewhere as well. It's like, well, will this work out? If the Lord leads me here, is that going to work? Well, Caleb could have said, if the Lord leads us into Canaan, is it going to work? And the other 10 men said, no, it won't, because we do not have what it takes. But then we see later on, when they did go in and possess the land, the miracles that the Lord did in order to get them in order to drive out the others, it was time and again. We know those stories from the simple thing of walking around Jericho until the walls fell down, the thing of the hornets driving out some of the tribes or the people, and on it goes. And they became victorious, and things that were could not be explained, like once again, with human reasoning. But the Lord led them on, and he had that in store and in plan for them. If we do not have full commitment, anything less will keep you from reaching your Canaan land of victory today. If you're not fully committed to the Lord, we will not have full victory in our lives either. The next point about wholly following the Lord is he believed, and these go hand in hand, but he believed when the others lost belief. In Canaan, the spies had seen the sons of Anak, a race of giants, and they compared themselves. They compared themselves and said, look, we are as grasshoppers beside them. Number one, was that true? No, I am sure that was not factually true. They started to exaggerate things in their mind, and they told themselves lies, which led to their unbelief. But Caleb continued to believe. He continued to see it as the promised land while others complained about it. He continued to believe that the Lord had promised this land to them, and somehow the Lord was going to give it to them. Others started to compare themselves to the other people there. Caleb looked for a mountain where milk and honey flowed. He was able to see beyond his circumstance into the promised land. He was able to see beyond what was there. And also later on in his life, again, he saw a possession that had been promised him. We'll get to that just a little bit later on here. And he saw it, and he saw that it needed conquered, and he believed that the Lord had promised it to him. And so he moved forward in that faith. We also see that because of this following the Lord and continual belief in the Lord, that Caleb was strengthened by the Lord. While others said, we can see how small we are. Look at those giants. That was an outlook of fear. But as it says in 2 Timothy 1:17, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but the power of love and a sound mind. Instead, somebody like Joshua looked at it more like this. He said, look how small those giants are in compared to the God I serve. That was really what was going through, or how he lived his life. While others compared the giants to themselves, Caleb compared these giants to God. This is faith. This is looking up in faith, looking up to God, and believing that He can handle whatever the big things are in our lives. Ephesians 3:20, Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Do we believe that this morning yet? That we serve a God that can work abundantly above which is our own human reasoning and comprehension? And if we believe that, then we have faith. I think that's the true test of faith, is when we believe something is capable above our own human thoughts and reasoning. I want to go take a look here at the end of Caleb's life. Turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 14. If you remember back there in Judges, there was a special promise given to Caleb that there was going to be land given to him and his family because of his faithfulness. And some of that was given to him, but there was still some enemies on the borders, and there was more land that was promised to him than they had actually conquered at this point in time. And so Caleb looks at this, and we got to realize that at this point in time, I believe he was 85 years old. So we have Joshua 14, verse 6, and I want to read to verse 13. And the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, Thou knowest that the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people to melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and the children and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, and has said, These 45 years, even since the Lord spake these words unto Moses, while the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength was then, even as my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain, wherefore the Lord spake in all that day, for thou heart hearest in the day how the Anakins were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be that the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron from an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. We'll stop reading there. So here we have a man at 85 years old who has confidence in his physical strength, and especially in his mental vigor. He said he was as strong that day at 40 as he was 45 years prior when he spied out the land. He had a zeal or a determination to continue to press on. There's people of all different ages here this morning, and I find myself, I believe, somewhere in the middle. But I do know that the older you get, the less energy you tend to have. But here, Caleb had a mental strength or a vigor about him that he was continuing to press on. And I want to challenge us here today to do the same. Even though we may be getting older, even though we are getting older, year after year, that we continue to faithfully serve the Lord. We continue to press on. Let's not lose out in the battle at the end of our lives. Let's be faithful to the end. And there's a story that goes like this about the Olympic Games that took place in Mexico in 1968. And there was a marathon program that was part of the Olympics that year, and the Olympic Stadium was packed, and there was excitement as the first athlete, an Ethiopian runner, entered the stadium, and the crowd erupted as he crossed the finish line. But you see, way back in the field, there was another runner. His name was Joseph Stephen, and he was of Tanzania. And he had been eclipsed, or all the other runners had ran by him. And after 30 kilometers, his head throbbed and his muscles were aching and he had fallen to the ground and he had a serious leg injury. And the officials went to him and wanted him to retire, but he refused. And with his knee bandaged, he picked himself up and hobbled the remaining 12 kilometers to the finish line. An hour after the winner had finished, Joseph Stephen entered the stadium, and all but a few thousand of the crowd had gone home. But John Stephen continued to move around the track at a painstakingly slow pace until he finally collapsed over the finish line. And this was supposedly one of the more heroic efforts in the Olympic history. And afterwards, a reporter asked him why he had not dropped out. Why didn't you finish when you knew there was not a chance you were going to win? And he said this: "My country did not send me to start the race. They sent me to finish the race." And I think that that should be our vision as well. We know that that's the Lord's wish for our lives. He did not send us here to just start out strong when we're young, when we have energy, when we have vigor, and move forward. He wants us to finish strong. He wants us to finish the race, no matter what he brings into our lives or into our path. Are we going to push through? Are we going to finish strong? We see that Caleb was a man that had finished strong. But you know, it is a fear of many people. It was even a fear of Paul. And Paul talks about his fear, about finishing up his life as a wicked man, as one of God's, he calls it somebody like throw it on God's rubbish heap, or he calls it a castaway, something that's cast aside in 1 Corinthians 9:27. "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, that lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I have been strong. I have been courageous. I have done well. I have taught others about Christ, but then I myself have fallen away." That was a fear, I believe, that Paul had. And he did things in order to keep himself in subjection or in the will of the Lord. You see, many people start out well, but they do not finish well. They do not finish strong. The Bible is full of examples, especially throughout the Old Testament, that you can think of people who started strong but did not finish strong. Solomon started well. David started well. Lot started out well. In the New Testament, Demas started well but then fell away. Our Sunday school lesson, Samson started well, fell away, then he did come back to the Lord. But the Bible is strewn with the wreckage of people who started well but ended in failure. They ended as castaways. As we get older, we become weak in body, but it is important to stay strong spiritually, strong in mind, strong enough to say, "Lord, give me this mountain. Let me take a mountain before I die. Let me be an overcomer." I don't know what your mountain is this morning. It can be a host of different things. It can be difficult things that the Lord has asked us to overcome. And oftentimes with age, there comes difficulties. But can we say, "Give me this mountain. Let me overcome this yet before I die"? Because we have faith in God, not a fear in the circumstances. What was it that enabled this 85-year-old man to possess that which God had promised to him? Because Caleb was willing to pay the price, to fight the battle, to win the victory, because he had that other spirit that was in him, because he wholly trusted the Lord. In conclusion, the question I have for us this morning is, where are you on your personal walk with the Lord this morning? Have you entered into Canaan? Or are you wandering around in the wilderness still struggling today? You see, God has a place of peace and power for us if we claim this possession. Are you wholly following after the Lord? You may be young, you may be old, you may have high energy, you may have low energy. But my question is, do you have vision? Do you have vision that sees that the Lord can help us to overcome? Remember, staying faithful in life is not about being faint-hearted, but it's about having faith in our heart. You see, there's there's a difference between a promise and a possession. You see, Caleb was promised the land of Canaan, but it was only once he put forth the energy that he was able to possess it. He was promised it, but he did not possess it until he put the energy forth. And I think the same thing applies in our lives today. Are we going to be victorious? We are promised a lot of things that if we grab a hold of, we can possess them. And they can become ours. They can become something that is dear to us if we actively pursue them and we follow after the will of the Lord. Let's kneel together for a word of prayer.